The last 2 days, we had a discussion about the Gemara in Baba Kama, Aser la'adam lachvol ba'atzmo, that somebody does not have a right to damage or harm themselves, to injure themselves in any way. And that is the psak of the Rambam, the psak of the Shulchan Aruch, that one doesn't have a right to cause harm to themselves, and certainly one does not have a right to cause harm to others as well. As we've discussed, the Achronim say, what is the reason? Why don't I have a right to make a decision for my own body of how I'm going to treat it, of how I'm going to spend it, how I'm going to use it? And the answer is because the Radvaz explains, and many others write the same, Mishum shenafsho, ein nafsho shel adam kinyano. We don't assume that my body solely belongs to me. I am not in charge. I don't have full reign. I'm in the hands of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as the Pasuk in Sefer Yecheskel writes, Hanefashos li heina. God says that your nefesh, your body, your soul, is really in my possession, and therefore we assume that what extends from that is that we are not allowed to harm our own bodies. And the question that becomes, this is what we started with 2 days ago, every year, inevitably after Yom Tov, people always have discussions about how much they ate over Yom Tov and how they want to lose weight and they want to go on very excessive diets. And this is a very important question. Do we have a right to do that or not? So that's something that we're going to discuss at the very end of this year, that Rav Moshe actually discusses explicitly in one of the tshuvas in the Igros Moshe. Fascinating. I happen to love when Rav Moshe writes English words in Hebrew and you're trying to figure out what is he referring to, and he's just transliterating into Hebrew what we say in English. So here he says, Imuter linhog dalid yud yud ayin tes. Am I allowed to have a, and I'm reading this, I'm saying, what is he talking about? And he says, am I allowed to have a diet? When it causes me a lot of pain, that I'm not able to enjoy all the food that I see in my house. However, bishvil yofi, I want to do it in order that I'll look more attractive. So am I allowed to go on a diet? We'll get to that in a couple of minutes. But before that, it just brings me back to a discussion that I remember took place in Rav Asher Weiss's office a number of years ago. So very often when I'm there, I try to do some shimush, and I'll stay in his office and listen to some of the shailas that are being presented, if they're not personal. And even if they are personal, sometimes I'll walk out of the room, and later on in the day he'll discuss some of the questions that came up that day, obviously not giving away any of the details. And I remember one fine day we were having a conversation there with a young man who was thinking that he wanted to become a fireman in Israel. And this is a very good question, because obviously the nature of the job of a fireman is such that when there's a fire, when there's a dangerous situation, your job, what you're paid to do, is that you run into the fire. So what right do I have to run into a dangerous situation, to run into a fire, when I know that I'm potentially risking my life? Now, what is the probability, what is the likelihood that a fireman's actually going to lose his life? I don't know what the statistics are. I would assume that it's probably a little bit lower than 50%, a little bit lower than 40%, lower than 20%, probably lower than 10%. I don't know the exact numbers. But either way, the nature of my job is that I'm going to be running into a dangerous situation when I get the call. And his question was, do I have a right to sign up to become a fireman in Eretz Yisrael? Obviously, he said, I'm going to be most of the time saving Jewish lives or trying to save Jewish lives, but do I even have a right to sign up to such a job when I know that I'm putting my life in danger? Maybe that should go back to this original discussion of Asur la'adam lachvol ba'atzmo. I don't have a right to do things that are going to put my life in danger. And Rav Asher Weiss at that time told me that there was a young man who was part of the security establishment in Israel, who was not just part of the regular establishment, but he was part of the elite unit of the security establishment, and he was asked to be not only a part of the Mossad, but ultimately after he finished his couple of years there, they saw how good of a security personnel he was, and they asked him to become the personal bodyguard of the Prime Minister. And apparently that's a very coveted position. Apparently that's a very important job. I mean, obviously it's an important job, but apparently not everybody has the opportunity to do that. And he was very excited about the possibility, but he said, as a religious Jew, I'm really signing up to do a job where the definition of my job is, if there will be a shot that is fired, I have to jump in the way. Does that make sense? Is that something I'm even allowed to do? Which is a fascinating question. On the other hand, how can we have a country where we're going to have a prime minister, like all other countries have a president and a prime minister, and we're going to say, you know, we can't have any bodyguards because the Torah doesn't allow us to stand in the way of somebody who's about to be shot. Then what kind of country will we have? Prime Minister, will Khalilah be assassinated immediately? Somebody's going to come along, a crazy person's going to get in the way, and this prime minister is not going to be secure. That means the whole country's not going to be secure. So how do we deal with these kinds of situations, which are obviously ones that come up every single day. And what's fascinating about these questions are, there are no sources to look really in the halacha. I mean, there are primary sources, but there really are not sources about the details of how to run a country. I have a set of svarim at home, which is a really beautiful set of svarim. Rabbi Tzvika Reisman from Los Angeles gave it to me about 5 years ago. It's an amazingly beautiful set of svarim that I never saw anywhere else. He printed it in honor of one of his children's ufrufs a couple of years ago, but he didn't write it. He sponsored the publishing of this sefer. It's four volumes called Mishtar V'Halacha B'Medina Yehudit or something. And what's amazing about the book is they basically take what the old halacha has to say about the new reality that we live in today. And very often there's a big chasm between what was in the days of David HaMelech, when he ran the country, and what is today. The reality has become far more complicated, and it's not so easy all the time to really figure out how you are going to take what the Shulchan Aruch might say, or what the Navi might say, what the Gemara has to say, and actually apply it into modern day halachic situations in the country that we run. So the Shulchan Aruch in two different places writes, in Yerudea as well as in Choshen Mishpat, that we don't have a right to put ourselves into danger. And that is learned from the Pasuk of V'nishmartem me'od l'nafshoseichem. We have an obligation to look after our own body. And as we said, asur la'adam lachvol ba'atzmo, I don't have a right to danger and to put myself in harm's way. Now, at the same time, there's a very famous tshuva of the Nodibi Yehuda. And he's the one who made this whole topic very famous, where he says, what if a person's job is the kind of job where it requires of them to do something dangerous? So for example, somebody wants to go hunting, not because I get pleasure out of hunting, but I go hunting because that is my job. But that's a very dangerous job, because I'm going to be in the forest, and who knows what I'm exposed to, and what kind of animals can pounce me, and I can lose my own life, but in the end of the day, this is my parnassa, so what am I supposed to do? So the Nodibi Yehuda there, when he was confronted with this very important question, the Nodibi Yehuda says, we have a Gemara which seems to indicate that Mishum Parnassa, somebody has a right to take some kind of reasonable level of risk. Now, that's a very fluid definition, and the Nodibi Yehuda doesn't really define how much risk and how little risk. That's a very good question. And in each case, you're going to have to really figure out what is the gain and what is the potential loss to weigh the options and figure out whether one would really be allowed to do this. But the Nodibi Yehuda points us to a Gemara in Maseches Baba Metzia, where it says, Ve'elav hu nosa es nafsho. And there the Gemara says, we learn from a pasuk, let's say you have somebody whose job it is to prune the trees. Now, not every tree is going to be a little bush in my garden. Maybe some of the trees are going to be very tall trees, and I'm going to have to take a very high ladder, climb up on top of the tree, chop down some of the branches up there, or pluck off some of the fruit. And there's always a tremendous risk that somebody can fall down from the tree and either injure himself or ultimately lose his life. Do I have a right to take such a job? Well, the Gemara discusses people who had such jobs, so it must be that it was assumed that it's okay. And from there, the Nodibi Yehuda, obviously I'm oversimplifying a very important tshuva that he writes, and if you want to see it inside, it's Tinyana Yerudea Siman Yud, where he says, for the Tzarech Parnasa, somebody has a right to go and take some kind of level of risk. Again, would we just tell a regular person to start jumping on top of trees and say, you know, no hands, I'm going to jump off and see what happens? Obviously not. But Mishum Parnasa, he says, if it's for the purpose of supporting oneself or one's family, he says that we do have a right to take some kind of level of risk, more so than we otherwise would in other aspects or areas of our life. And Rav Asher Weiss at the time made a very important comment, and I think this is an interesting way to say it. He says, we know that there are many, many people who get involved in things that are dangerous, even though they know from the outset that it's dangerous. For example, he said, every Jewish family takes a tremendous risk when they have children. So as we know, the Rishonim write, in their days, many, many women used to die during childbirth, or the child would pass away. It was a very dangerous thing to do. Now, obviously, the statistics, the numbers have gone down, because the advancement of medicine has given us so many opportunities to make sure that a woman is going to be as well protected as possible, but it doesn't always work out. So you'll say, it's not such a risk today. However, he said, he pointed out that there are many women who know from the outset that they are going to have a high-risk pregnancy because of a personal condition that they have. And yet, we don't tell such women, you're not allowed to become pregnant, you're not allowed to have a child. Now, if it's 100% that the woman is going to die from having a child, then we would not advise her to do that. But if a woman has a high level of risk, and she's nervous about it, and yet she wants to have a child regardless, the halacha would not say that it's usher for her to do that. Why? How am I allowed to make such a decision? And the answer is because when you're going to have this kind of challenge to figure out whether the risk level is worthwhile for what the potential gain might be, you have to balance very carefully what the specific scenario is, like the Nodi Yehuda said. If the positive outcome could be Litzarech Parnasa, and otherwise I don't have a Parnasa, this is what I'm good at, says the Nodi Yehuda, you have a right to take a higher risk than others because you need that Parnasa, and because it's not a definite probability that you're going to get hurt. The same over here. Everybody has to weigh that situation very, very carefully. And he quoted at the time a passage from the Sifri, where we're told in the Pasuk, Lo Saguru Mipnei Ish, you're not allowed to be afraid when somebody stands up to you. And there the Torah is talking about a dayan, when you have a judge, and sometimes when you have two parties that come before a judge, somebody wins and somebody loses. Somebody's happy and somebody's upset. And sometimes the person who's upset about the fact that he lost is not just upset, he threatens. And he doesn't just threaten, he goes ahead with that threat. And he's going to harm and vilify this person who made the judgment against him. So, should I now say we should have no judges in the Jewish community? Says the Torah, no. Lo saguru mipnei ish, don't be afraid, says the Sifri. Even if he's going to kill you, you still should not be afraid. So what do you mean? Even if he's going to kill me, the Torah only says that I have to give up my life for Avodah Zarah, Gilui Arayis, Shvichas Damim. So the Bach asks, what do you mean if he's going to kill me, I should give up my life for this? That doesn't make sense. And the Bach says it doesn't mean if he's actually going to kill me. What it means is that if somebody is really threatening me and he might hurt me in a very serious way, and there's a risk factor there, he has a terrible anger management problem and he has all kinds of other psychological issues and he really might come after me at some point, and I am afraid of it, still says the Torah, Lo Saguru Mipnei Ish, meaning you have a right to take that job as a dayan, even though there's a tremendous risk factor that is involved. So Rav Moshe has a number of tshuvas where he discusses these kinds of issues, and how much you're allowed to take a risk, just because you want to take the risk, not Mishum Parnasa, and not because it's your job, but rather he says because somebody wants to go on a diet, when he knows it's a very dangerous diet, it's unhealthy for you to stay away from so much food, he says, but I'm doing it b'shvil yofi. I'm doing it because I think that I will look more attractive if I lose weight. And Rav Moshe wants to know, what is the halacha in that case? So he says, a person who goes on a diet certainly is being mitzta'ar atzmo. Rav Moshe says, when you go on a diet, you certainly are giving yourself pain. You're certainly hurting yourself. There's no doubt about it. Rav Moshe writes in the end, if you're going to go on one of these very excessive diets, which is actually dangerous, then he says you have no right to do that. But let's say a person is just scaling back because the doctor told me that it's healthy for me to scale back a little bit and I should watch what I eat and watch what I don't eat, watch my consumption levels and how many carbs and how many calories I take in. In such a case, writes Rav Moshe, number one, in many cases, it's Litzorach Rufua. The doctor says this is the best way to live life, so then obviously I would be allowed to do it. But Rav Moshe here throws in a very fascinating calculation, and he says, on the one hand, it is a tsar for me every time I look at the food and I don't eat it. So it's true. I am damaging my body by not eating it because I would be much happier and I would be much more besimcha if I had everything that was in front of me and all of it was available. However, Moshe says, on the other hand, I will be very happy when I finish this and now I lose 10, 20 pounds, whatever it is that I'm trying to lose, and I feel much healthier and I feel much better about myself. Rav Moshe says in that case, you make a calculation. And in that case, because we assume the health factor at the end and the fact that you're going to feel so good at the end when you lose that weight that you so much wanted to lose, therefore Rav Moshe writes, that would be something, that would be a worthwhile endeavor as long as it's done in a way that is reasonable. But we had someone recently who came and ate by us and said he lost 30 pounds in 5 weeks. I said, there's nothing about that that can sound healthy at all. That's got to be exactly what Rav Moshe says is not allowed. Why? Because you're abstaining, you're holding back from eating so much to the point that you're actually getting sick from it, that you're losing 30 pounds in 5 weeks. That really doesn't sound like it's healthy if you would ask a doctor. So Rav Moshe says in a case like that, you have to be very careful. The very next tshuva Rav Moshe discusses is, what about imnara muteras liyapos atzma? Is a young woman allowed to beautify herself? Ayidei nituach shehu chavala begufa. The woman is totally healthy. For that matter, it could be a man as well. But I feel, Rav Moshe writes, the case that he was asked was, there was a young woman who felt that she should have some kind of cosmetic surgery, an elective cosmetic surgery, because she believed that she wasn't going to have a good prospect at a shidduch as much as she will if she gets this surgery. And Rav Moshe was asked, well, that is electing to damage myself. And there's a certain risk factor that is involved in every procedure that a person goes through. every time somebody goes under surgery, that is something that is going to be dangerous. And Rav Moshe discusses, is that something that would be permissible or not? I'm electing to hurt myself. Why? Just because I want to look good. So who said that's a good enough reason? And Rav Moshe here has a long tshuva to discuss whether or not there is a merit to that argument. Rav Moshe then talks also about a very common issue, which is, am I allowed to donate blood? So Rav Moshe says, if there's a chole befaneinu, if there's somebody here who needs the blood and I'm going to save a life, then of course, he says, I'm saving a life, so I'm allowed to give blood. But Rav Moshe says, what if there is no chole befaneinu? There's just a blood bank. And we're assuming that at some point the blood may or may not be used. You know, I keep getting texts every day that there's a blood shortage and you have good blood, so I don't know if that's true or it's not true, I have no idea. But I try to donate blood because why not? Why shouldn't I? I'm healthy enough to give it, and somebody else is going to use it, somebody needs it, so I may as well help them out as much as I can. If I can't save lives myself because I'm not a doctor, I may as well give whatever I can to save somebody else's life. Now, donating an organ, donating my kidney, I don't know, I'm not holding there yet. I'm a little bit nervous about that. I have many friends who have. But to me, that's still a higher risk than donating blood. But Moshe says, every time you donate blood, you are going to hurt yourself, right? It hurts when you get pricked. I went and I donated platelets. That actually hurt a lot. I was out for the whole day after that. And yet, Moshe says, we find that everybody does it. So what is the heter? Why am I allowed to do it? Not every time that you donate blood is it really pikuach nefesh. If it was pikuach nefesh, obviously there would be no question. But if it's not pikuach nefesh, says Rav Moshe, how do you explain why it should be permissible? In the end, Rav Moshe writes, well, today the doctors know how to do it so effectively, it doesn't really hurt so much. All they do is one little prick, they take a few samples of your blood, and then they close everything up, and you're fine. A couple of minutes later, you're on your way, you take a drink, and it's as if nothing ever happened at all. So Rav Moshe says, as far as medicine has advanced, and now that taking blood is really no big deal at all, so he says he doesn't understand why taking blood should even be a shaila anymore about chavalah. But in terms of other things, Rav Moshe says, this is something that we do need to think about. When somebody has an elective surgery, or they think about something that they do to harm themselves, not because of parnasa, but because I want something, I want to look nicer, or I want to enjoy the other reality that will happen as a result of my taking this risk, or of my damaging myself. Rav Moshe says that is a major question that we need to think about, and all of it boils down to this Gemara of Asr la'adam lachvo ba'atzmo, and what the Radbaz writes, Mepnei she'ein, Nafsho shel Adam kinyano, because we are not the ones who govern over our own bodies. To a certain extent we do, but to a certain extent we have to believe that we are in the hands of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and He is the one who really owns our souls and owns our bodies, like the Pasuk says, Hanefashos li heine, Reb Hananya ben Akasha.